Michigan was one of the fastest growing states for wind power in 2012, according to the American Wind Energy Association's annual market report. But wind power is a complicated issue, and joining us now to talk about it is Jim Dalzo of the Michigan Land Use Institute in Traverse City. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
We are well here in East Lansing, and you are well in Traverse City, I presume.
Yeah, it's a little foggy around the edges.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know. To be a nice day.
Wind energy has seen its ups and downs in various parts of the state. Talk to us a little bit about the challenges faced by proponents of wind power here in Michigan.
Well, I think the biggest challenge proponents of wind power face is getting out all the good news about wind. It works very well. It's cheap. It is very clean. It doesn't hurt anybody, and I think the more that people understand that, the better it will be for wind power and for our energy systems and the price of electricity in Michigan.
Tax policy apparently has an impact on the debate over wind power. Tell us how.
Well, it depends which tax you're talking about. There is a personal property tax when a wind turbine goes up, and the local government, township and county, collect property taxes due to that. So it's a real good thing for local tax revenues. There's also a production tax credit on wind that has been very on and off over the last 20 years, which has reduced its effectiveness in terms of companies being able to plan their budgets. But it actually still has worked pretty well despite all that. The point of the production credit tax is to encourage more wind development, allowing the wind industry to scale up and innovate on its technology and, reap the harvest of larger production scale. And that has happened. And I was thinking about this last night, 5 or 6 or maybe 8 years ago, we were real thrilled to hear that a wind farm near us here in McBain, Michigan, was selling wind for 11 cents a kilowatt hour. That seemed like, wow, that's just a breakthrough price. Well, I looked the other day, and Detroit Edison's latest wind farm, which is going up, will be around 4 to 5 cents a kilowatt hour. Wind power has gotten extremely cheap because it has scaled up and it has been able to innovate and it has been able to just generally improve the whole technology and the industry's efficiency.
You mentioned earlier that wind power does not hurt anybody, but NPR reported recently on some research regarding the effects of low-frequency noise from wind turbines. Some people living nearby report symptoms such as dizziness, trouble sleeping, ear pain, and on and on. One researcher who co-authored a review article of a study about this said, "We think infrasound causes problems in the inner ear, and we think wind turbines produce infrasound, but we can't stand up and put our hands on our hearts and say wind turbines cause wind turbine syndrome." Could you comment on these folks who believe they're suffering from being close to these turbines?
You know, that's a real big ball of wax there. I am quite convinced that, I'll tell you this. I wrote an article about infrasound 3 years ago. I've been very, very aware of the claims about infrasound. They really are without scientific merit. Infrasound is very, very hard to measure. The thing to understand first about infrasound is that it's everywhere. The Great Lakes make infrasound. Jets flying overhead make infrasound. When you're in your car, you are exposed to infrasound. If you walk by a spinning washing machine, you're exposed to infrasound.
But isn't it conceivable that someone next to a wind farm might be more exposed to that?
Well, that's very, very hard to prove. Because when the wind blows, the turbine turns, but the wind goes through the forests or across the trees or along the fields and also makes infrasound. Infrasound is very difficult to measure, and the best research I've seen on it says that wind turbines give off relatively little infrasound. There have been some very interesting studies lately, because this has become such a question, about showing people the nocebo effect with infrasound. If they took large groups of people, showed them a film explaining the dangers of infrasound, split them in half, actually exposed one group to infrasound, did not expose the other group to infrasound, but they were both told that they had just were exposed to infrasound. Mm. And sure enough, both groups had symptoms, claimed symptoms. When the reverse of that was done, and infrasound was said to be completely harmless, and now we're going to expose these two different groups, they thought it was harmless. I think that there's a certain, I don't know really what the word is, there's certainly a psychology about this that applies. A lot of the studies that we've seen from Europe, where a lot of people live next to a lot of wind farms, seem to indicate that if people are involved in the project in a monetary way, in fact, if they're getting rewarded for being living near a wind farm, they really don't see any of these kinds of symptoms. And a study in Australia that's about 4 months old now looked at every wind farm in Australia. The only ones where they could find complaints about infrasound were the ones where proponents had gone in and warned people that if this is being built, you're going to suffer from infrasound. Hmm. I think the thing is a chimera. I think it's a very natural reaction by some people who don't like wind farms to find a way, perhaps subconsciously, to feel bad about it. But okay. I just don't see that as a real issue, personally.
We're talking with Jim Dalzo of the Michigan Land Use Institute up in Traverse City about wind farms and wind power in Michigan. So far, most of the wind turbines that have actually been built in the state have been on land. Some northern Michigan lawmakers up in your neck of the woods have introduced legislation that would stop any proposed research or production of offshore wind power in the Great Lakes that border Michigan. The proposed offshore wind farms at Cape Cod in Massachusetts were a big controversy. Even the late Edward Kennedy came out against them. Describe the differences between the kind of opposition we see for offshore turbines and what we've seen inland.
I think they're both equally fatuous. They're based on stuff that's not really science. They're based on claims and anecdotal evidence. There's really no evidence to speak against wind farms on the lake other than people saying, hey, I don't like looking at wind farms out on my lake. And I totally understand that objection, and that needs to be dealt with in some ways. There needs to be some discussion about how important is somebody's view versus the good things that can come from wind power. But these legislators up here, that's really some goofy stuff. I mean, they're saying, Greg McMaster is one of these two representatives, said he's all for wind power, but he doesn't think it'll work on the lakes because it gets too cold and it'll wreck the turbines. Well, how does he know that? And then he turns around and proposes a bill that forbids research on it? I mean, draw your own conclusions.
In Benzie County, the northern Lower Peninsula, some residents are fighting proposed wind farms by requesting permits for helipads, up to 8 of them. There are 5, I believe, here in Lansing and East Lansing. Heliports could prevent construction of wind turbines or any structure taller than 200 feet within almost a 1 mile radius. Is this kind of strategy something that you foresee other people following? If you don't want wind power, get helipads?
Well, I mean, that remains to be tested in court someday going down the road. I don't really know if that can work or not. I mean, we were kind of amazed when we saw that. The wind proposal in Benzie is pretty much dead. I mean, Duke Energy withdrew from that almost 2 years ago, and a year later, they passed this crazy helipad thing. I mean, that kind of says it all. People would rather have helicopters buzzing over their house than think that they're living somewhere near a wind turbine. Really?
It seems to be a really polarizing thing. The people who dislike it call it a boondoggle. People believe in it like yourself, see it as a win-win for business and the environment, something that Michigan can actually do, unlike solar. Do you think it will eventually be accepted or rejected by the people of Michigan?
Well, I think you'll see it unfold in a community-by-community basis. There are communities that are very, very happy with their wind farms, both in Michigan and all around the country and all around the world. The stuff that's being put out against wind power, I think, has a lot to do with the kind of stuff that's being put out about climate change by certain vested interests who have a great concern that if enough people take this seriously, it's going to hurt their little coal business, or it's going to hurt their oil business, or it's going to hurt their extraction industry business. And there was still is a very organized attempt at climate denial, and I think we're seeing that going on with wind power denial. It's the same tactics, it's coming from the same sources, and it's pretty clear to us what's going on. It's whether people want to be misled or not.
We've been talking about wind power in Michigan with Jim Dalzo of the Michigan Land Use Institute in Traverse City. Thank you, Jim.
Oh, thanks, Mark. See you later.